Securities and Advisory Services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA SIPC.
Good morning, everybody. Dennis O'Brien of the O'Brien Retirement Investment Group here in Mystic, Connecticut. We're operating out of Ledyard, Connecticut on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well. If you have any questions, I got a lot to talk about this week. The phone number here is 860-464-9490. And a lot went on this week. I just got back 1 o'clock last night in Providence Airport. I am operating on about 4 hours sleep. So thank you for the coffee from Henny Penny and the Egg McMuffin from McDonald's there at Exit 90 next to my office, which has helped me out a lot. Hope everybody's doing well. The reason I was traveling last week, every year Independent Financial Group, my affiliated firm, has a conference at the very fancy Del Coronado Hotel. And if anybody's ever been to the Del Coronado, it's in San Diego. You have to go over the bridge from San Diego into the Coronado area there, and I know I'm saying it wrong, so I apologize. But it's a beautiful strip of land that goes down the outside of the huge Navy base there, and the Navy SEALs train right on the ocean there, and so you have this very fancy hotel, very fancy homes, because homes going for, you know, they don't look like much, but you know, California, everything's $1 or 2 million, especially near the water. And then in the morning, the Navy SEALs run by, and you could see them out in the water working and whatnot. And it's a very, very beautiful place. But we flew into San Francisco last Friday, and our dream was to go down the Pacific Coast Highway and see the state and do a little add-on vacation before the conference, which started on Monday. So we flew into we got up at 3 in the morning in Mystic, drove to the Providence Airport, caught a 5:50 a.m. flight. I'll never do that again, by the way. 5:50 a.m. flight, and we were in San Francisco at 11:15 a.m. their time, which would have been 2:15 our time. So it was crazy. And then we drove from the airport through Cupertino, not San Jose, but the place where Apple is, and Silicon Valley, and then we went up into the hills, and then down the other side, we went through the hills and to a place called the Great Basin Redwood Park. It's a state park. It's full of redwood trees. And if you know anything about redwood versus sequoias, the redwoods are not quite as wide as the sequoias, but they go up. I can't tell you. There was one of the trees, I think it looked like it was up 600 feet. I've never seen anything like it. Absolutely gorgeous area. And we stopped there for a while, and then we worked our way down to the coast, heading to Monterey, where we wanted to spend the night. And as we went down the coast, we were on this highway, and a tremendous Del Monte agribusiness going on there. Tremendous fields, right near the ocean, too. And we worked our way down to Monterey, and I was up about 22 hours straight. It was a long, long day. But we got to the Monterey Marriott, and they were having an anti-car show right there and stuff like that. And the sun was out, and the locals were telling me, they said, we basically get fogged in all day, every day, and the sun's out today, so everybody was just out. And it was kind of interesting. Next morning, we got up and we drove down the coast, and we hadn't eaten breakfast, so we knew that Clint Eastwood was from Carmel by the Sea, or he had been mayor of one of those towns there, and we wanted to see it. And Lori or Beau, they found a place called Kate's Restaurant in Carmel. I mean, it was expensive, okay? You know, everything in California is. It's just the way it is. But as we went in and we watched it, I have never seen a restaurant. It was in an old house, a really neat place. And you walked in, you could tell everybody in this restaurant was affluent. You know, you just know it. And Carmel is what it is. But I never seen a place more well run. I never seen employees work together better. The food was absolutely delicious. It's way too expensive. but it was delicious. And you know what? It was worth it. Just to see a restaurant run that well. And I walked up the old timer that he sent by the registry to the owner. He goes, yep. I go, I just want to compliment you. I've seen, you know, hundreds of restaurants. And I said, I've never seen one so well run. Did you train him? Yep. I go, you take credit cards? Nope. So I just lagged him the cash and we moved on and we worked our way down the coast. Now, we wanted to go down Route 1, the Pacific Coast Highway, and see Big Sur and everything else. Well, the problem was you go half a mile inland, beautiful sunny day along the water, fogged in. So we missed quite a bit, but we saw a lot. But we worked our way down to L.A. through Ventura. You know, it took the whole day. Stayed 2 days in L.A., and boy, that was an experience. Whatnot. Now, one thing I noticed, wherever I went in California, I never saw a for sale sign on a house. I did not see one for sale sign on a house. And I'm going to tell you why later in the story, because I didn't find out why until I talked to some people down at the IFG conference. So we went to, Lori said, where do you want to stay? We were meeting her sister. And her sister has expensive tastes. And I was like, well, let's stay wherever they're staying. Oh, boy, was that a mistake. This place called Lowe's. It was on the Santa Monica Pier. And a beautiful hotel and full of very, very wealthy Europeans. I heard more French in this hotel. Just an amazing experience. I've got the bill and I almost had a cardiac arrest. But it was amazing. And so for those 2 days, we drove around L.A., and luckily it was a Saturday and a Sunday, okay, especially the Sunday day. It wasn't Saturday because Saturday was all day driving down the coast, so it was Sunday. We drove all over L.A., and the thing that Bo and Lori wanted to eat at more than anything else was the In-N-Out Burger. And I don't know if you've been to California or if you have no relatives there. Mention In-N-Out Burger. It's like a little... The price is about half of what McDonald's are. The food's twice as good, and you cannot get into an In-N-Out Burger. It is so popular. It's privately held. Yes, the founder passed. His daughter runs it. Talk about well-run. I mean, this chain, I mean, they are unbelievable. I guess everybody's been trying to buy them in the restaurant business, and they don't care. They have their own little thing going. But very, very well run, very impressed by them, very impressed by the prices. It was by far the best deal I got in California. Let me put it this way. I'm staying at a hotel paying $600-$700 a night. Yes, yes, yes. And then I went to an In-N-Out Burger. Got a double cheeseburger for like $3. It was kind of fun. But drove all over. You know, went through Beverly Hills, walked down Rodeo Drive, which is a trip, and once again, a lot of rich Europeans walking around. It was something to see. So we get back, I'll talk a little bit more about the conference, a lot of the interesting people I met, and what went on this week, and talk to one very, very, very smart guy. The smartest guy I met at the conference was a guy named Rob, and I'll talk about him. If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com, and I'll send you my Retirement 10 Commandments, and we'll talk to you in a few. Thanks. Bye-bye. Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Show, and we are on 94.9 News Now, and this is the Retirement Life and Investing Show. Hope everybody had a great week. I'm just recanting my story about leaving for California last week and working our way down the coast, and we're in L.A. at an In-N-Out Burger, and the In-N-Out Burger was packed. Every one of them was packed. My impressions of L.A., the Santa Monica Pier, if anybody, you got to experience it. It's a lot of fun, but boy, you talk about packed and everything else. L.A., my impression of L.A. was it is a city in transition. They're redoing a lot of buildings because Beverly Hills is perfectly manicured, not a grass out of place. We found the street that if you look straight up, you see the Hollywood sign. It was kind of cool. Bo had found it. My son was with us, my 24-year-old son. Had found it on Reddit or some of the sites. This is the perfect street to go to take the perfect picture of the Hollywood sign. It was a lot of fun and everything else. While we were there, Ben Affleck went on a tear. I guess he had gone on a two-day alcoholic binge and was in all the things. We had passed the restaurant he was at in Malibu called Naboo, and of course my wife was like, darn, I wish we'd gone in there and seen Ben Affleck losing his mind again. But I hope you get better, brother. I hope whatever demons you have, you can figure them out, and I pray for you. When I heard about it, because no matter how much money, wealth, celebrity you have, you still have to go home at night and look in the mirror and be happy with the person you see. And so if movies aren't your thing and doing it for you, or that celebrity life, then go buy a ranch in Montana, go buy a farm somewhere, and get back to basics and find out who you are and what you really want in life. And that includes everybody. So, and money does not impress me. Fame, celebrity, none of that impresses me. You know, I worked on Wall Street. I saw a lot of famous, rich people, and none of it impressed me. And if you don't believe me, look at Kate Spade. You know, nice girl, nice Irish Catholic girl from wherever she was from, Wisconsin or St. Louis, and hit it rich, and it didn't work out for her. And I hope her family is okay, especially her daughter. But in any case, in L.A., there were a lot of rich Europeans in the hotel, and driving around L.A., my impression was it's a city in transition. Saw a lot of, not migrants, but people that had come here from Central Mexico. Everybody was hardworking. People were, the one thing about California, I have to say, is everybody was smiling. Whether they were very wealthy or they had just gotten there, they were all smiling. Everywhere I went, I saw happy families, smiling people. It was almost like, what's going on here? Because coming from New England, it's a big change, you know, culturally. And I decided wherever they, especially people that come from another area, they're a lot happier where they are now, number one. Number two, you know, weather has a lot part of it, a big part of it. And the weather there is very, very nice, yeah? And, one thing, though, when we were up driving down, we saw a lot of smoke. A lot of smoke south of San Francisco. There were a lot of fires breaking out. One of the brokers in Oregon had told me that he had just gotten a call from home that a fire had broken out on one of the mountains up there in Oregon, too. So it's very, very dry out there. Very, very dry. But as we drove down, I mentioned I never saw one for sale sign on a house. You know, come on, that's pretty weird. I mean, you got to see one, right? I never saw one the whole time. It was very, very odd. So we spent 2 days in L.A. Then Monday morning, the conference was starting in San Diego, so we had to skedaddle out of L.A., and we worked our way down the coast. It stopped in a town called San Clemente, which, if you recall, that's the town with, I think, Nixon put his presidential library in and whatnot. And it was a really pretty town. They had kept the stucco. They kept it really pretty the way they did it, because a lot of California, it's a real hodgepodge. You go to L.A., the architecture is real hodgepodge. But at San Clemente, it was beautiful the way they had done the town and everything else. But we have a call coming in from Sam in Westerly. How are you, Sam?
Good morning to Radio Free New England.
How you doing, brother?
Let's see. Have a beautiful day here. Take a good breath of fresh air.
Yeah. The weather's broken, right? The humidity was good.
Now that you came back, you must have brought it with us.
Well, I'll tell you, it was dry out there. No humidity out there, you know?
Did you come back in flames?
No. It wasn't that hot. You know, it was like 80, 85 every day. I mean, their weather is just, you know, you go to San Diego and you're just like...
Yeah, they're burning up.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable, the weather, and it's like that all year, you know? And then they're smiling and they're going surfing and, you know...
I just heard you talking about that, everybody smiling. Well, pretty soon that's going to come here to New England, too.
Yeah?
Everybody wants to grow cannabis in their backyard now.
Grow cannabis? Cannabis? Cannabis?
Cannabis?
You mean marijuana?
Everybody wants to invest in that now. That's the big talk I hear.
Yeah, that's very interesting you talk about that because...
So everybody's going to be smiling.
Well, I'll tell you, out in Denver, Colorado, where it's legal, it's booming out there. Absolutely booming. And I know some kids around here that have moved out there. I go, why'd you move out there? And they just smile. And the parents roll their eyes like, you know, what are they doing?
Everybody be growing poppies.
I don't know, Sam. I don't know. Have you partaken yet?
No.
No?
No. It doesn't interest me.
If it was legal, would you?
No.
No. No.
No.
No. No. I don't blame you. So how's work? Everything good?
We're still making it there.
Well, thanks for calling in, brother.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Looking forward to seeing you again.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Sam is makes a very interesting point. Now, I was, just to change the subject from the travels in L.A., I was talking to, at the conference, one of the things I enjoy about the conference is independent financial groups. Brokers are from all over the country, okay? You know, half of them are from Southern California because that's where they're based, but there was a couple from Denver, and I got talking to them, and a lot of the financial advisors have been around 20, 30, 40 years. These aren't kids. These aren't, you know, inexperienced people. So they have other businesses. They're tied into their communities. They know what they're talking about. And the couple from Denver, I asked them, I said, what's going on with this, you know, the legalization of marijuana? How has it affected things? And he said something very, very interesting to me. He said that it has created an economic boom, okay, but they're worried about traffic accidents because there's more people just falling asleep and going off the road. But he said the thing that really, really concerns him is the fact that he thinks, and now this is just word of mouth, okay, I have nothing prove it on or say it's gospel, okay? But he says that he thinks because the feds will not allow the proceeds of these businesses, which is in tens of millions or maybe hundreds of millions of dollars, the feds will not allow the proceeds from these companies, which is legal in Colorado, to be deposited into banks that have FDIC insurance. The feds will not let them deposit the monies from these businesses into the banks. So these businesses are stuck with these cash flows, okay, and everything else. And it's his opinion that because of that, he thinks that the mob and the cartels are moving into Colorado because he says who is better prepared to launder cash than those illegal groups. So the feds, by being obstinate, okay, in terms of not allowing these businesses, they are creating a situation where these illegal, brutal, brutal crime syndicates are moving into a state that never really had a history with this, okay? And, you know, talk about law of unintended consequence. If he's right, okay, and the reason I'm mentioning it to you is I'm suspecting that he is, okay? I did not even think of this, but he's saying that all this cash that's running through, that it's having could have a really bad effect. So the feds better wake up and allow these proceeds, if they're legal in the states, to be put into the banks and be running out to other businesses, because that's what banks are supposed to do. Take in your deposits and lend them out to other businesses, okay? Not to be all this cash all over the place. So I hope he's wrong, but I'm worried he's right. Because cash, it's not good. It's not a good way to have these businesses that are off the books, so to speak, and whatnot. So anyway, getting off the topic, back to L.A., I did not see one house for sale the whole way down through California. So as we worked our way down, we stopped in San Clemente. It was absolutely gorgeous. People smiling, happy, happy, happy. And we get into San Diego, cross over the bridge to Coronado, land at the Del Coronado, which is a beautiful, beautiful old hotel. Back in the day, they had pictures of Marilyn Monroe shooting movies there. All these old movie stars. I guess it was a big place for people to go. Reagan used to have all these summits with the Mexican president there. There are a lot of pictures of that because, remember, Reagan was the governor of California in the late 60s. And they show a picture of him dedicating the Coronado Bridge as it goes over from L.A. Coronado is a separate city from San Diego. And it's really, really neat old place. If you guys are ever in that part of the world, I recommend it highly. Some of the rooms, we had to switch rooms because we had some issues with used lady underwear in on the floor in the room and stuff like that. And, you know, the cleanup, maybe they may have got to work on their staff a little bit. But the views, the room, the hotel itself are absolutely gorgeous. So if you guys would like my retirement 10 commandments, and we'll talk about a little more on the investment side as we go on in the show, just go to my website, obrienretire.com, O-B-R-I-E-N, retire.com, or you can call me anytime during the week, 860-415-9614. We'll be back in a few. Got some more California real estate stories. And we'll talk about what's going on in the markets. We'll be back in a few. Thank you. Good morning, Dennis O'Brien, the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well. I run O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, and we help you retire and get ready for retirement, and more importantly, teach your kids how to handle money, too. Anyway, I'm talking about California and finding dirty ladies' underwear in our room at the very fancy Del Coronado. And what happened was I went into the closet to get the luggage mount thing, and as I put it down, it flew across the room, and my wife says, "Whose is that?" And I go, "I don't know. We just got here." So we were laughing, you know. But we made a complaint, eventually had to switch rooms because we found other stuff in the room, and eventually got a beautiful room. But, you know, it caused a little bit of a consternation on our part, but it's in a beautiful place. So anyway, talking about California real estate, what is going on there? I'm on the beach, sitting there with a few financial advisors from all over, and I asked a couple that were from there. They used to have a real estate firm, and I said, "Well, how come I haven't seen a for sale sign in California?" And they both looked and started laughing, and I go, "That's because nobody can sell their house." And I go, "Why can't they sell their house?" I go, "Because if they sell their house, their property taxes will go up dramatically because everybody who's been grandfathered under the Proposition 13 that came in 1979 or 78, there's people that have owned their house for 40, 50 years in California, and the house is worth $1.6 million, and they're still paying $900 a year in property taxes." And I go, "Well, what do you mean they're paying $900? She goes, "Everything was frozen in 1979. They're allowed a little bit of increase, you know, 1 or 2%, but the houses, most of the houses in California, the property taxes are very, very low if they've kept the house within the family or didn't sell it. So there's no supply. Because if you sell the house, you better be moving out of state if you're not selling it to your kids. So because of that, properties have gone up in California by a tremendous amount. The property taxes are extremely low. Nobody sells unless they're moving and they're going to cash out, or they're selling within the family, or they can buy another house in California within a certain time period and still get the same Proposition 13, 1979 rates, and they're still locked in. So do you know what that means? Let me give you an example. If you have $300,000 house, say, in Norwich, okay? And it's valued at $300,000. There aren't many left, okay? And the taxes on that house are, what, 10, 12, 15 grand a year, okay? You can have a house in California you've owned for, you know, 30, 40 years, which is typical, right? And a lot of people just, you know, raise their kids, stay there into retirement. And the houses have appreciated, and it's worth $1.6 million. And your taxes are only $900. It's because of Proposition 13, which limited capped the value they could put on property taxes versus the value of the house. So even the value of the houses have increased, they capped the increase per year. So even though the houses might have gone up 10 times, the property tax may have only gone up 25% from 1979. Can you imagine us paying 1979 property tax rates here in Connecticut? What would our houses be worth? Our houses would be quadrupled what they're worth right now. Because property taxes are extremely important to the new home buyers that come in, because that raises their mortgage payment up or down. And we have cases where the property taxes can be almost as much as the mortgage payment in some of these crazy towns across the state. So in California, they have a situation where it's just the property taxes are extremely low for the long-term holders, long-term people in the state. Okay, a lot of people don't know that. They say, oh, California taxes are high. Yes, the income taxes are high. The sales taxes are high, and they have taxes all over. I mean, and then, let me tell you one thing. The hotel taxes are very high, and I protest as an out-of-stater. But when you look, the proposition is the third rail. Nobody dares to touch it. And it has stayed in place thanks to Howard Jarvis in 1978 and his group and whatnot. And they were able to put a state referendum, which we cannot do here in Connecticut. We cannot have a binding state referendum where the voters could say, hey, we've had enough, we want to cap it. We don't have that in our state constitution. They did. So lucky for them, unlucky for us and whatnot. So anyway, the smartest guy I talked to at this conference was a guy named Rob Stein. He runs a money management firm out of Chicago named Arbor Investment Management, I think it was. And he gave a speech. There were a lot of product providers there, and I'm not really interested in non-traded REITs. I'm not interested in the annuities. I'm not interested in any of that big commission stuff that's, I don't think it serves the investor well. I don't think it does. But occasionally they'll have a money manager there that has his or her own shop. They have a style, what they do. They have a good track record. And the thing I like about Stein was he came from the Federal Reserve. He had worked on Wall Street. He had a good track record. And he had something called the American he has an app that he tracks all the economic indicators and has created his own proprietary America's economic indicator, depending, showing how we're doing, and then he tracks it against how the market's been doing. I love that because it's independent, and it shows proprietary knowledge that can help me and you be in the market when his indicator is rising and be out of the market or lighter in the market when his indicator is going down. Now, I pointed out to Rob, I said, well, you're using government numbers, and he goes, yes, I am, but I'm using so many of them that short-term timing of them, he goes, is a waste of time. But once you get the hang of what's generally going on, he goes, like, one of my indicators in the model is railroad traffic. You track railroad cars and how they're bringing goods and services, goods through the pipeline. He goes, that's extremely good indicator. Sometimes it flares up, flares down, but over time. So I listened to what he talked about. I went up to him after his speech. I said, let me tell you, you with the Federal Reserve, what the heck, in your opinion, happened in 08, 09? He goes, what do you mean? I said, they let a federal primary dealer go into bankruptcy 7 weeks before a presidential election. And he just stared at me. And he goes, I don't think they did it on purpose, thinking it would help Obama to win. And I looked back at him and stared. And I go, really? And he went, no. He goes, I think they just wanted to stick it to one of these Wall Street firms not realizing what the implications would be. And I thought about it, and he says, you got to remember, these people are not rocket scientists. They make mistakes. So, with that being said, and I think he believes that. I'm not sure I do, but I think he believes that because I believe in something called the invisible hand, where somebody might have steered them in that direction. Treasury staff made these recommendations to the moron that ran the Treasury, was the Treasury Secretary in 08. I forget his name, but he came from Goldman. So anyway, the point being is this, is that most market crashes are caused by mistakes that the Federal Reserve, Treasury, or the government makes. When we're talking about Colorado and what's going on out there, the mistake they're making by not letting the cannabis industry proceeds go through the banks, they're FDIC insured, it's a huge mistake. Huge mistake. It's going to have unbelievable intentions. I think sometimes they make mistakes and the law of unintended consequences kicks in and then we have a real problem, okay? So, that being said, something happened very, very interesting this week, which you've got to pay attention to, okay? And we'll talk about it in the next section because he's waving the two-minute sign. But this was the most important thing that happened last week and why, when I came back, clients' accounts were very, very much higher than they were because everything surged this week. And why did that happen? And we'll talk about that in the next break. Meanwhile, if you'd like a free consultation, if you'd like to talk, my door is open to you whether you have $100 or $100 million. I don't care. My main concern is if I can help, I will try to help you. Sometimes it's just listening, and sometimes it's taking over the finances and helping you get the ship right. If you own a bunch of stuff that's been sold to you, okay, and it's just a bunch of different products, it has no cohesiveness in terms of what it's trying to do for you, give me a call and let's go through your statements and see what you have. I know a lot of you have been sold products, so I want to help you get through that thicket and find out what you have. With some of you, I can help, and some of you, I can't, and I'll tell you straight up. But you can visit with me and consult with me as many times as you want, not worried about paying anything, okay? So go to my website, obrienretire.com. Email me from the website if you'd like to sit down and chat, and we'll more than happy to sit down and see if we can help. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't, but we always try, okay? Be back in a few. Thanks for listening to us on 94.9 News Now. This is Dennis O'Brien with the Retirement Life and Investing Show. Be back in a few. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien from the Retirement Life and Investing Show. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement, obrienretire.com. If you like my Retirement Ten Commandments or make an appointment, please feel free to go to my website. Southwest got us there safe. They're pretty funny. They crack a lot of jokes. They do a good job. And there's never an empty plane on Southwest. And pretty much you are going to be, the algorithms that fill these planes are pretty amazing. They raise and lower the prices as the reservations pour in. And when there's three seats left, chances are you pay double for the seat than the guy that, or gal that got in there early and whatnot. But, so anyway, during the week, I noticed I was watching the markets very carefully, sitting in my cabana there in San Diego, drinking a margarita. No, just kidding. I don't drink. But in any case, I was watching the market very, very carefully during the week, what's going on. It's very easy to track off my iPad and phone. And I noticed the cannabis index ran up almost 30% last week. One of the big companies, it's a Constellation, I can't remember their name, but they distribute Corona, they're one of the big liquor distributors in the world. They came in and bought one of the Canadian growers. No, they didn't buy them. They put $200 or $400 million into them. And then the whole cannabis, Canadian growers, whatever they are, just soared last week. And I had been buying the index through the down days weeks before. So I look like a genius, but I'm not. I just knew that sooner or later somebody's going to make a move. And this company, this is a Constellation, I can't remember their name, their timing was incredible because they must be watching the same index because they saw it go down and, you know, it had peaked at 40, had gone down, and 29.30 was looking good to me, you know. I was like, I'm going to be real smart and buy it here. Of course, it goes down to 25, 26, so, you know, it's humbling, you know. But boy, 26 and change, they came right in, scooped in, and plopped some money into these, and then whew, the whole thing just, you know, realized. I think what they're realizing is that this is just going to be one of the offerings out there. You know, tobacco, liquor, cannabis, beer, soda, cannabis. You know, it's coming. It's coming. So just be aware of it. And Sam, if you're listening, I don't know if Rhode Island will ever go there, but, you know, you want to grow a few plants. It's up to you. In any case, what happened this week, though, with the general market? Why did the general market soar? You know, you got this impeachment talk. You've got, continued tariff wars and talk and everything else. You got the Chinese doing joint stuff with the Russians. You've got the Iranians screaming. You've got Europe going on. All this stuff going on. But what happened that the markets started to really surge? There's only one person that really matters. His name is Powell. And Mr. Powell is chairman of the Federal Reserve. And Mr. Powell said something very, very interesting last week. He waited a few weeks after Trump berated them for raising rates. And he said, we will be raising rates gradually. And the market caught on to that and said, oh, there's an air of compromise in the air. And they're not going to go full board. And I think the lady that runs the Kansas City Fed, remember, the Feds are regional banks from all over the country. There's a Boston Fed in New York. There's one all over the Chicago, Kansas City, Atlanta. You know, and they all get in, and they talk about their regions and what's going on in their regions, you know, every quarter. And those summary of those opinions go into what they say is going on, whether they need to adjust interest rates in the short end one way or the other. So the lady from, well, we're going to raise them two times before the end of the year. I will bet you, anybody want to bet me a dollar out there, that is not going to happen. I do not believe the Fed is going to raise rates two times during these 18 midterm elections. I just don't think. Maybe once, I doubt twice. I'll bet you a dollar they won't. But in any case, the market's caught on to the fact that Powell may be compromising a little bit with Trump. They're not going to raise the rates. He's the only guy that matters. You could talk about everything else. If the Federal Reserve raises rates, it means the market's going to be a little weaker. Now, what's going on overall with the economy is we are in a very strong economy. Okay, remember I was talking about Rob Stein, Astor. He has this American economic, proprietary economic performance where he takes thousands of statistics and put it in his index. And he says we are very, very strong. And the feeling was, the people I talked to, and it was my feeling before I went there, is that I think the economy is going to continue to strengthen, and I think these markets are going to go much, much higher. That's my personal opinion. Take it for what it's worth, but I don't think we've ever been in a situation where we had such a pro-business president. He's extremely pro-business. And when he said for every regulation put on, he's going to knock out two, guess what? For every regulation that's put on, he's knocked out 22. 22. The numbers are staggering. Now, something else happened very subtly last week, and you got to pay attention to this. Remember a couple of weeks ago I was talking about the millennials are starting to buy homes. There is a shortage of homes under 300,000 to 500,000 in our area, and I'm talking to the brokers all over the country. They said the same thing. There's a shortage of starter homes, okay? So the prices are going to start to rise on the lower end, and eventually they're going to work their way up, you know, through the higher end too. So the millennials are starting to buy homes. It's a big deal. At the same time, something very subtle is happening. Trump has loosened the regulations on the banks under $150 billion. Because he's done that, the money multiplier, the money used to be all kept at the Fed, right? And the Fed kept the money there and the banks were not lending it out. Guess what? The banks now are looking at, now the rules have loosened a little bit for them to go lending. Remember the tight rules from 08, 09? For the smaller community banks and the regional banks, they're going to be able to go out and lend money again. So instead of leaving it parked at the Fed at 0.5%, they're able to go out and lend to you and me at 3, 4, 5% unsecured, 6, 7, 8, which is very good for the banks and very, very good for the economy. Because if you get money starting to multiply through the system again, that creates like a turbocharge to the economy. We haven't had that. That's why we've had this anemic 1, 2, 2.5% growth for many, many years. Now, if the banks are able to kick in the turbochargers and re-lend money, okay, on top of the millennials coming up, and bear in mind, there's, you know, 80 and 90 million of them starting to have babies, getting married, you get married, your nesting kicks in, and they want to own homes. So you get all that going on top of the loosening of the rules. I think we're going to turbocharge. And I think the stock market, which is slightly overvalued, is going to go much, much higher. And so get ready, kids. Get ready because it's coming. And all these people telling you it's going to crash and this and that, I think they're full of baloney. That's my opinion. That's just my opinion. But I've been around 38 years and I've seen a lot of markets. I have never seen what I am seeing now. The confluence of forces that are out there moving in the same direction, okay? Now, that being said, in the fall, I think we're going to see a lot of volatility, okay? Because typically what happens is after a guy gets elected 2 years later, the other party, because of the way our system works, gets energized in opposition, and they tend to turn out heavier at the midterms, and they could lose part of Congress, which is typical. That's been happening the same way for 100 years, okay? So that could create more turmoil. It would be very hard for Trump to get through what he wants to get through, and it will create a lot more negotiation and whatnot. But so that will create some volatility. But that being said, the influences we're seeing right now tell me that we're pointing to maybe a real golden era of American growth and exceptionalism. I think it's coming. We went through Silicon Valley. Kids are coming in from all over the world to work in Silicon Valley because they know that if they have an idea and they can start a company, there's tons of money looking for the next great idea. A lot of people laying down their bets. And if you have it and you have what it takes and you're in the right place at the right time, you can become a billionaire in America from nothing. Okay? Try doing that somewhere else in the world. Try that. It's almost impossible. You know, unless you're a dictator and you steal it, like Venezuela or the guy in Turkey. You know, that's what happens. It's so corrupt in a lot of these countries. But here, you can come here. So the talent we can draw in from our own people, from people around the world that want to come here legally, that want to work hard, want to succeed. Because America is not easy. America's hard. You know, we don't give it to you. You have to go out and hustle for it and work if you want it and whatnot. So I wish all of you that are unhappy in your jobs or unhappy in your life have the guts to really think through what you want to change, write it out what you want to do, and then go for it. Because here in this country, you can do it. You can do anything you want. Also, all of you have worked hard. You're in your 60s. You've accumulated some money. Start talking to your kids about what you've done, how you've done it. Talk about money. Talk about, educate them. Because they want to get your kids, and they want to get them hooked on debt. They want to get them. So remember, educate your kids, your grandkids, and don't stop doing it. Because one of the things I want to do on this show is I want to help people avoid debt, build their net worth, and live a good, happy, healthy lifestyle well into retirement, and then be able to pass that on to their children and grandchildren. My name is Dennis O'Brien. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. My website's O'BrienRetire.com. If you would like a free consultation or my Retirement 10 Commandments, just email me, hit the button. Leave your phone, please, because I will call you to verify your identity and make sure you're not, you know, a robot or whatever. I don't know what a robot is. But in any case, everybody have a great week. It's the weather's beautiful, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye now.